All righty. By the way, I heard from the guy that, if you weren't listening earlier, the guy who said his 38-year-old girlfriend, Tiffany, came in and stole everything he had. He wouldn't let me know that the fourth thing stolen was not strawberries, Sherry.
Oh, okay. What was it?
It was a rake. He had a rake in the garage.
Was strawberries on the list, just lower down? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little further down, right after rake.
She is a good woman. Shop back and a rake.
Wiped him out.
Hard worker.
By the way, you missed it. If you missed it, you can't. This show is like Mission Impossible, that old show in the 70s. If you came in 5 minutes after that thing, after the tape caught on fire, you had no idea what was happening. I always walk in, I say to my dad, why is that guy, running? Judd, never mind. Diving in the dude! All right, this is something we've been doing. Kind of works out sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. I get a chance to debate a listener. And Sherry, they said, do you know anything about Elliot? Has Jacob sent this to you or just to me?
No, I know a little bit about Elliot. You want to hear about him?
Yeah, let's hear about Elliot.
All right. Well, he's a Mariner, but not the baseball kind. He's Canadian-American. Oh. And he once offered to let you broadcast the show from his house. But his husband said no. So that didn't happen.
That's right. That's right, because Elliot's husband doesn't like me.
Oh.
Welcome to the show, Elliot, whose husband doesn't like me. Hello, Elliot.
Dear.
Hello, John. Hello, Sherry. How are you guys?
Hi, Elliot.
Elliot, the topic that you have chosen you wish to debate with me is the fact that the Pride Parade has banned the police from marching in the parade. I assume in previous years, Seattle Police Department did march in the parade, but this year they've decided they will follow suit with, I think, Chicago, New York, and other major cities that have disinvited police from marching in the parade. And I'm going to assume, as a Canadian-American, you're all in favor of that.
So I should clear the record. I'm actually just a U.S. citizen, but I've been educated and worked in Canada, and it's a very lovely place with very lovely people, but I'm American. But yes,
you're American.
I agree. Police in uniform should not march in the Pride Parade.
Tell me why.
I'll tell you why. It's because Pride commemorates the Stonewall Riots in 1969. In New York City, it was not legal for men to hold hands, to go on a date together, to be together. Mm-hmm. And so the only place that gay men could congregate and meet somebody was a place called the Stonewall Inn, and the police kept raiding the place. Finally, in 1969, the patrons decided they'd had enough. Led by a beautiful woman named Marsha P. Johnson, they started a riot and protested against the police and said, we've had enough. And that was the Stonewall Riot, which marked the beginning of the modern gay rights movement, and it was an anti-police riot. So my essential point is that police are not welcome at an event that commemorates an anti-police protest.
That makes perfect sense. If one were to think that the Gay Pride Parade, it has sort of moved away from its original origin, celebrating the fact of the riots that had happened at Stonewall. It has now included and has grown. So I would say that a couple of years ago, what had happened was that the gay police officers that fought hard to be out and to serve as a gay man or a gay woman and also be a police officer, they started groups and they had organizations and they were welcomed. And when it came to the cities all over, big cities, they recruited and tried to get. We want as most diverse a group of people we can possibly have representing the community, protecting and serving. So they opened their arms and they said, listen, we don't care. You're gay or straight. If you can do the job, come along. Charlie Cochran Jr., he was the first gay man ever hired to be a police officer. And it really was a celebration of when they marched just last year and the year before and the other years. It was like, look, I'm gay. I'm a cop. I'm in the parade, and I'm not afraid to dance to I Will Survive, the gay anthem. So, right, exactly. So, you know, the only thing is the cops, like, just put some distance between us and the guys with the gigantic red leather phalluses. So the this year you can't have them because here's my point, Elliot. The gay community and gay activists have won. Congratulations. You have very little that you're fighting for. A few things on the fringes, but all in all, look at the amount of progress you have made. So now we have to continue to fight for something. So they look around and they say, let's do this. Let's be against the police. Let's say that police brutalize, police kill. So let's do this. Let's get involved with that side of it because that seems to get a lot of mojo. So therefore, we can't have the police marching along beside us. It is actually a sign of the fact that as a group of people that were once murdered because of who they loved have made incredible advances.
I think you do. You're right that being anti-cop is sort of the activist flavor of the day, and there's certainly some people that are caught up in that, and I don't disagree with you there, John, but I would disagree with the idea that we, the gay community, have won. It's not over. I'm temporarily working down here in Texas, and I could be fired for being gay. There's no law in Texas that prevents that. Fortunately, in Washington State, we do have such a law, but there's many states that don't. Also, there's huge struggles right now for transgender kids, and there's state after state passing laws that are restricting transgender kids from getting health care. So I would disagree with you respectfully on the idea that the gay community has sort of won. We have marriage. That's good. I'm happily married, 8 years, you know, but it's not over. The other side of that coin is, did you ever see the movie Hellboy?
Yes, actually on a plane, because Tom told me to watch it, and again, another one of Tom's suggestions, but I was stuck on a plane, but go ahead.
Okay, so it's the Hellboy principle, that the gay community will always operate on the Hellboy principle, that if there's trouble, all us freaks have is each other, and we have to band together, and we have to protect our most vulnerable, and if people in our community are saying, I feel threatened by police, I feel unsafe in the presence of police, that we are going to defer to those people in our LGBT community to feel most threatened. Now, do I, as a 250-pound white dude, feel threatened in the presence of police? No. Last time I got pulled over, I got out of the ticket. You know, like, okay, I'm white, I have that privilege. But am I going to defer to people within the community who say, I don't feel safe around the cops, I don't want them at the parade, I absolutely am.
Okay, what if somebody, let's say 1977, survey taken of Americans, 78% of Americans said that they are uncomfortable with gay men around children. So they were uncomfortable with gay men around children. Okay, so that is somebody that is obviously has a limited point of view or experience, and they're just going to sort of be based upon their own neurosis. I would say that the people that, and this is going to seem harsh, but who cares? The people that say that they don't feel safe around police, you know what they need? A kick in the ass, because they're just saying that because what they want is attention. So what you do is when you begin to set these sort of parameters, or you begin to sort of create a benchmark for the behavior that we will consider to be what we'll cater to, well, then you're always catering to the most sensitive. Well, I don't feel sensitive, or I don't feel safe around police, or I don't feel safe around this. So everyone can run to them and go, oh, really? What's wrong with you? And they love all the attention. And then you're going to get somebody, well, I don't feel safe around whatever else they want to come up with, that they don't feel safe around, so that they can give even more attention. Let's face it, a couple of years ago, the police marched in the parade and they were proud of it and the community cheered for them. And what it does is, if you're a gay guy and you're 16 years old and you're standing on the side and you're watching the parade go by the way, let's both agree on this, Elliot, we don't have to debate this, that the parade is lowest form of entertainment in the world next to a circus. So the parade goes by, and if you're 16 years old and you go, hey, I guess I could be a cop. right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I guess I could be a cop. And then, you know what? Because then all of a sudden you're like, you know what? I'm 16 and I'm gay. And you know what? I don't have to do musical theater. Maybe I'll do that on the side. But I'm going to become a police officer. That's what it does. That's why the guys marched in the parade, because the community celebrates it. But the cowards that want to not have the police in here because it's the new thing for the fact that the police are brutalizing. And I would say the same people that in 1977 that thought that gay men were out molesting children did not have the statistics to back that up. And I would challenge any one of those people that don't want police marching to show me the statistics that show me that the police are out there brutalizing gay men, trans whatever, or people. The number of police and the number of calls that police go on and the way that they are accountable to all sorts of new rules and regulations, thank goodness, you're not getting the brutalization that you thought you had. So the same ignorant people in 77 that thought that gay men were abusing and molesting kids is the same moronic belief, the believing the hype and the myth and the lies and the propaganda that's on the left.
Yeah, and I think you do make a good point about for that 16-year-old kid to realize, hey, I could be a cop, because when I was that age, I thought that your choices as a gay man were, you know, flight attendant, teacher, or musical theater. And so, you know,
or florist, or florist. Let's not, hey, florist, Elliot. Sure. Or florist, thank you.
Or florist. But, you know, I'll tell you though, John, as far as giving somebody a kick in the butt and saying get over that, I can't say that to somebody who's just watched the video of George Floyd being killed and saying that guy looks like me and he's being murdered on camera. I can't kick that person in the butt and say, get over that. That's a real fear.
Uh-huh.
Now, whether
but Elliot,
the statistics.
Yeah. No, what statistics?
No, that's what I'm saying. Is you can make that argument about the statistics, but if we're talking about in a community event, and somebody who's just seen that and is terrified of that, and they're saying, I don't want this group here, then we're going to defer to that. And I would also just go back to the history of it, that is Greenpeace obligated to let Texaco march in their parade? I would say no. There's a historical reason and there's a present reason. And we can disagree on whether those reasons are valid. But ultimately, I'm going to defer to the people within the gay community who don't feel safe around police. And I'm going to defer to the origins of the event that was an anti-police riot. And I'm going to say to Seattle cops, go march in that parade. March with your rugby club. March with your church. March with your tennis team.
Yeah.
We just don't want you in your uniform. It's not the venue.
Mm-hmm. I see. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the actions of Daryl Chauvin. We're going to take that police officer. And we're now going to assume that all behavior and all police are responsible like the one caught on tape. So we're going to take the actions of one gay man, and then we're going to say all gay men are like that. And this is the problem that anyone that is in a minority that's oppressed and truly crapped on by society. The society that has prejudice against somebody takes one individual, and then what you do is you multiply that one individual and you have them represent everyone that looks that way, talks that way, acts that way. So then therefore, we don't have to just worry about hating one person. We can hate all of them. So you could find an example along the way, somewhere in society, where someone that was gay did something. And then everybody that hated gay people would see that? That's what those gays do. That's those gays, or that's those blacks, or that's those whites. You got the one guy on the neck of George Floyd, right? The other guys are standing around. Got it. Now, all of a sudden, which, by the way, was not race-based, it was a police officer showing a lack of concern for a human being dying underneath his knee. But it wasn't race-based. But the big point is this. That is the actions of one. You cannot judge the actions of one and then multiply it out unless you want to live a really, really sad life where you're closing yourself off from the beauty of every single individual. By them doing this in the city of Seattle, by not letting these police, by saying all police are bad, you're doing the exact same thing that has been done to gay people, to black people, to white people, to Jews, to any sort of minority. You're doing it, not you, Elliot, because you're a big fan of the show, and I love you. I don't care much for your husband very much, though. I say this. anybody that stops this sort of thing, you are as bad as the people that have been crapping on you for years.
Well, John, the key difference in what you just mentioned there is that you can't stop being Jewish. I mean, I guess you could convert, but you can't stop being gay. You can't stop being black. You can take off the uniform. The Blue Lives Matter thing is wildly inappropriate, in my opinion, because it's talking about a career. It's talking about a job. And that's something that you can change. And so to lump that in on the same level as the oppression of Jewish people, the oppression of African-American people, I just think is disingenuous and is apples to oranges. And furthermore, we're not talking about taking their pension away. We're not talking about, you know, making police officers use a separate drinking fountain. We're just saying, you know, we don't want you to wear that in this event. It's not the same level. You make a solid point about judging the person and not the group, but I think you're stretching a little bit and comparing it to the serious oppression of all these other people. At the end of the day, it's just saying, hey, man, this is a party that you're not invited to.
Right, because we don't like you.
We don't like what you represent. We don't like what your uniform represents.
Okay, well, I'll say this, Elliot. Not you particularly, but the people that made this decision.
Sure.
I don't know who it is, but let's say that they come home from a fabulous dinner party. The door of their house is open, and they can tell someone is in their home. And they can hear someone inside the home screaming, and it's their partner. And there is someone in there that's beating them. That person, the first number they will call is 911. Those cops will come to that house within hopefully less than 7 minutes. The person inside that house, in the hypothetical situation I'm drawing right now, the person inside that house could have a gun. And that cop is now going to walk in there. They don't know this guy. They don't know the guy that called, but they're going to walk into that house, risk their life to save an individual who they do not know. And by the way, they're going to be wearing a uniform. And we don't want those people. We don't want those people in our parade because we don't like what they represent.
In this context, but also, they do a dangerous job and they're well paid for it. We can respect their work. We can appreciate the work that they do, while at the same time saying there's a time and a place for everything, and this is not a time and a place for that uniform. So come march in a pride parade if you're a cop. Just march with your weightlifting group. March with your church. March with your tennis crew. Just don't march
with the cliches. Okay, with the cliches, Elliot, with the weightlifting, okay? Elliot! Tell your husband who hates me, I love him in my own way, okay?
I will tell him that. Hey, it's been a pleasure.
All right.
And thank you.
By the way, hold on. Hold on a second. Yes. You're 260 pounds.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell your husband, let John Curley, stand up for yourself. Just because you're kind of half Canadian, stand up for yourself and let me come do the show from your place.
All right. I'll see if I can talk him into it. But, John, I decided a long time ago I'd rather be still married than right.
See you at the parade, my friend.
All right. Thank you. You guys have a good one.
Goodbye, Elliot. Goodbye.
Bye, Elliot.
Thank you. There you go. I heard you laughing. You're giving me no support, Sherry, during this
debate. Sorry, I had to go walk the dogs. What do you want?
You can jump in like, hey, what the hell, huh? That would have been good.
Right.
All right. You tell him, Elliot. Yeah. Tracy Taylor's going to look at traffic for us. Yeah. What for? All right, here we go. You write to us at MyNorthwest.com. You text us well at 98973. Thank you, Tom. Tom comes in just for that. Let everybody know Cairo Radio or Cairo Television has your back. Where are we? Cairo TV's got your back. What part of our body do we have of their body, Jacob? Do you remember that? I can't remember.
What? No, I don't remember either.
Well, Cairo Television has your back.
Oh,
what does Cairo Radio have? What part of your body does Cairo Radio have?
Arms and legs, maybe? No, that sounds...
Arms and legs.
Ears.
There we go. Thank you, Sherry. It was an obvious one. Just checking. You know, I know that Jacob hardly pays attention to the show. And it was, I think it was last week. I said, what was that? And you're like, I'm sorry. I wasn't listening.
I think I asked you to repeat everything you just said.
Yeah, it was bad. You write to us at mynorthwest.com. You can apply for Jacob's job as well at mynorthwest.com, or you can text as well, 98973. All are welcome. Thanks to Elliot for coming on and debating. By the way, that's the same we're going to try to do on Fridays, because normally Tom and I go running around like two dogs in heat. That's not a good analogy. We go
wow.
around like a train. I don't know, whatever. And so to have a listener jump in there and step in and express a point of view that's different from mine, I appreciate it. I think he did an excellent job. The are you going to do this? This has your fingerprints all over it, Sherry. The fact that wedding season is kicking off now and there's a lot of pent-up crazy wedding ideas.
Right. It's June, so that's, of course, big wedding month, and a lot of people did not get married during the pandemic, or if they did, they had a very scaled-down ceremony. So now wedding venues, catering companies, all these different places are seeing this tremendous demand for weddings and for just, you know, services.
Yeah, and Heather Bosch talks about the fact that the rush is
on. At a wedding
on.
Dress boutique in Seattle, Stacey Jimma's dad looks over her sparkling, lacy inventory between visits with brides. A lot of them.
They've been waiting and waiting and waiting. They're like, we just want to do this.
La Belle Elaine's bridal is seeing a surge of business. So is Holly Olson's Perfectly Posh event planning company.
And I think it's just going to be a very, very busy summer.
Who was so busy, we spoke to her via cell phone as she dashed from one appointment to another. Arista Catering owner Brett Willard also confirming the wedding business is suddenly booming.
What? Last 2 weeks, holy cow.
Between Sunday and Tuesday this week, he says he saw more business than in the entire month of February. Everything picking up shortly after the governor announced the state would fully reopen June 30th.
Probably since Memorial Day, our inquiries have just exploded.
Everybody wants to do all the things. All the exact same time.
After a year when wedding venues and vendors were closed by the pandemic, some for good, those remaining are scrambling to meet demand. 2020 weddings are being rebooked and 2021 nuptials scheduled. Jim's dad says some couples are being flexible.
Doing events like on a Thursday evening, a Friday evening, a lot of Sunday events, just to find vendors and venues that were available for all the reschedules that have been happening.
Others are being patient, waiting until they can have the exact wedding of their dreams. Just don't wait too long. Vendors and venues tell me they're quickly filling up their 2023 calendars.
People are just deciding it's time to have a party.
To be clear, this is a problem people in the wedding and special events businesses tell me they are happy to have. And
maybe things will even out in 2023.
Wow, and then you can start throwing baby showers. Sorry, I had to.
That totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Heather Bosch with a looking at the people rushing to get married. I would assume you had a great big wedding and there were tears and somebody threw the bouquet. And did you do the whole thing?
Oh, contraire. No, I did not, as a matter of fact. My first wedding, I did. We had a very small wedding. We had 15 people and family and friends. We got married in a kind of a restored mansion and then had a big sit-down dinner and all of that. And it was great. My sister had the big wedding. She had the big wedding and all of that stuff. And my ex-husband and I just decided that we really didn't want to bother with it. It was a lot of trouble and we just didn't want to do it. And then my current husband, Trevor, and I, we went to Key West and got married there, which is kind of the Las Vegas, you know, by the beach. So we got married.
Whoa. It sounded like you've been married three times?
No, just twice.
Oh, it sounded like three times.
No. Okay. There was the first one.
Trevor guy
the
came into the play all of a sudden. Okay, right, got it.
Yeah. So I had really small weddings.
Well, how tall was your bridesmaid's husband?
Well, I didn't have any bridesmaids. I didn't want any. I didn't want to do any of that. I thought so it was all kind of dumb. You know,
you saved yourself the embarrassment of the bride having to ask the bridesmaid, please don't bring your husband because it will ruin my wedding.
Right. This is a woman. This was on Reddit, and this maid of honor wrote in about this, and she said she's been told that she can't bring her husband because she's 5'5", and her husband is just under 5'5", but when she wears heels, she's going to be taller. So the bridezilla said, hey, you know what? Don't bring him. It's going to look weird in the pictures. You don't want to be taller than him. And she said, well, I'll wear flat shoes. That's going to look worse. We can't have that either. So forget it. Dump him. And she's saying, no, we're not coming to the wedding. Forget it.
How about drywall stilts? Could the guy wear those and then come to the wedding wearing those?
You mean like those circus things that they wear, like under your pants where you stand on the thing?
Yeah, dressed as Uncle Sam. He could be 11 feet tall. No.
Yeah, that's a good look. That wouldn't look weird at all in the pictures. That looked great.
Gigantic red and white pants, big stripes,
big hat, that big giant Cat in the Hat hat.
Yeah, that'd be good. Alrighty, something old, something new, something from Uncle Sam just for you. Alright, Tracy Taylor, look at traffic. People are out there really enjoying themselves on a Friday, aren't they?
Oh yeah, they are.
Here we go. It's a weird, long story in the Wall Street Journal. And by the way, thanks to Sherry filling in for Tom on a Friday, and thank you for listening as well on a Friday. Write to us at mynorthwest.com. Text as well. Come on in through a State Roofing text line at 98973. Teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. Swing in here a little later on. I'm pretty sure she'll be brought in by the woman that was giving the play-by-play about the woman who smashed the watermelons between her thighs. That's just the way I think that one's going to go.
It's not as good when you spoil a surprise, John.
I just said the people know who's going to...
Something to look forward to.
Will the comedian Gallagher be in the thing with her, too?
Oh, wow. That would have been a good idea.
Oh, we just lost John. Hold on.
Oh, good.
Here we go.
We'll find him. He's there somewhere.
There we are, John.
Am I there? Hello?
Yep. Hey, John.
Yeah, we just got you back.
Oh, I said some really clever things just now. What point did you leave me? Just before I started saying clever things?
I think so. Yeah, you hadn't said anything clever up until that point.
Yeah, it's been all pretty dumb.
Did Sherry say anything clever?
Not a chance.
Always.
Okay.
Oh, thanks, Sean.
Oh, wow. Jeez. All right, I only have 1 minute now.
Right.
What am I going to do with that?
You can talk about the pigs and the chickens.
No, I can't.
Okay.
I had a whole setup, and then the thing dropped out. This little town in screw all of you. Okay, I'm not going to do the story because it's too complicated. I had a whole big setup.
Well, it's a good idea. I mean, it's a nice story. You know.
Okay.
Sad.
Now you're going to placate me. Yeah. Good for you. Yeah. Good for you. As my friend Ernie Pino used to say when. I would be in a play or I'd do some sort of performance or something, and you'd come around and you'd run into Ernie because Ernie was with every single play, and you'd come around the corner and, what'd you think? What'd you think, Ernie? What'd you think? And he'd always go, did you have fun?
Did you? That's the worst.
Did you have fun? And you're like, yeah, I guess I did. And he goes, good. That's all that matters. Right. That's all that matters is you had fun. And you're like, oh, okay. And you'd walk away and you realize, I sucked.
Right. That's exactly what that means. I've had that happen to me so many times. It's the worst.
He did it to me every time, and I never caught on until like about 40 yards away. I'd be like, wait a minute. That's not what I asked.
I know. They're so enthusiastic, too. Yeah, did you have fun? Good.
No,
good,
no.
Because
no,
you're the worst.
Be like this. And he'd be like, did you have fun? Did you have fun? This great big kind of crap-eating smile on his face. Did you have a good time? Yeah, I did. Well, there you go. That's all that matters. He'd walk away. Boy, that sucked. God. God bless him. All right, Tracy Taylor, how's traffic? Did you have fun doing the last report?